Welcome to Tech Talk by LG. My name is Erik Svalberg and I'm product specialist here at LG Electronics Nordic. I'm fascinated by tech and I enjoy learning about how things work. So this is a podcast where we get to do exactly that. It's about all things tech and we break down different topics and technologies so that you can also gain a deeper understanding of your favorite products and all of the gadgetry around you every day. Welcome to our first episode. And in this episode, we're going to discuss the biggest event in consumer technology, CES, which just happened in Las Vegas. And I'm so excited about all of the new stuff that's being showed off there. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, CES is the biggest show in consumer technology. It's held every year, and it's famous for a couple of things. One is that in recent years, the automotive industry has made a really big impact, showing off self-driving cars, electric vehicles, all of the new innovations of AR and display technology integrated into the car. And obviously with self-driving cars, all of the technology that you might be using when you're no longer driving the car yourself, it's turning the car into a second living space in a lot of cases. But another thing that CES is really famed for is for new screen technologies. It is the place to go if you want to see the biggest actors flex their muscles and show off their most impressive screen technologies and to find out what direction it's going to take the coming year. Now, to be fully honest, I am absolutely biased. I work for one of the biggest TV manufacturers in the world, and I have my preferences. But I also have this podcast because I want to give you guys a bit of a deeper understanding of the TV and tech industry, and not just the regular marketing messages that you get every day. You can watch a banner for that. We're here to talk about tech, and we're here to learn about what's going on. And to do that, I'll try to be as objective as I possibly can. Now, being obviously biased, I'm going to start by talking about OLED, because OLED is such a hot topic right now. And while LG is celebrating its 10th year of OLED TVs, the other South Korean TV giant, Samsung, is stepping into its second year of competing on the OLED TV market. And in many ways, this has reinvigorated the TV market, because for many years, Samsung kept focusing entirely on their LCD solutions, particularly on their QLED or QLED TVs. These are LCD TVs enhanced with quantum dot technology. But as of 2022, they finally took a step into the OLED market, and what they did was step in with quantum dot enhanced OLED TVs. And you can say that from there, the fight was on for brightness, because while they were releasing quantum dot OLED, LG was releasing OLED Evo technology, which also enhanced brightness. They really went head to head. Now this year, we're looking at an even brighter QD OLED from Samsung displays. At the same time, LG is talking about new light control architecture using the latest technology from LG displays to make an even brighter screen as well. So they are both looking at very high brightnesses here. And even though you might not be using this on a day-to-day basis, it does become exciting when you start thinking about the highest quality of Dolby Vision content or high-performing HDR that really hits those peak brightnesses in some special effects or really, really extreme scenes. And I guess one of the biggest questions when it comes to this big brightness showdown is how far does it actually need to go? I mean, your average cinema is going to peak out around 100 nits, but at the same time, the cinema is completely dimmed. So if you are sitting at home and you have big windows and you have a bright room, maybe you do need that extra brightness to compensate for it. So I'll leave it to you. I guess it all comes down to each and everyone as an individual, how much brightness they really want. But if you're looking for something for the movie night, don't get blinded by those high numbers. They are dazzling, but they're not the whole picture. Something else that is super important is, of course, the quality of the image. And here we can actually drift over to another interesting topic, which is motion. You see, when it comes to high motion in images, you need two things to get a clear image. One is a high frame rate, and the other is a fast response time. Alienware, the hardware manufacturer purchased by Dell and now known for their gaming hardware, has announced a monitor that is going to give you 500Hz refresh rate. And for those of you who don't know, that means that the screen can refresh the image 500 times per second. Let me give you some examples. Your regular TV signal or video feed is going to run at 50 or 60 hertz. Your regular television is going to run at 50, 60, 100, or 120 hertz. Your PC monitor, if it's made for gamers, is going to run at either 144 or 240 hertz. And they just announced one at 500 hertz. And then you might ask, who would possibly need something like that? Well, somebody who has a graphic card that can deliver 500 images per second. And that is no small feat, because even a good graphics card doesn't always deliver even the 144 that you would expect from a gaming monitor. But then there's also the matter of response time. And response time is the time that it takes for one image to switch to the next. So not how many images per second, but the time it takes to switch from one picture to the next. And that is another big factor. You see, if you don't have the response time, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to have more and more frames per second, because they do end up just blurring into each other. But in theory, if you have all of those, oh my god, are you going to be blown away by the clarity and the smoothness of the motion that you get? And this is an area where, again, OLED technology really excels. And I'm not the only one who thinks so, because this year, both LG and Samsung announced 240Hz gaming monitors with OLED displays. And really, for even most of the best graphic cards on the market, 240 is going to be more than enough. So if you're looking to real-life use, and maybe even under ideal conditions, you might still be getting better picture clarity out of the motion on a 240Hz OLED display than you would get out of a 500Hz LCD display. But I can't really say that for sure yet, because I haven't seen these new 500Hz screens in real life. So I'm really waiting for the tests and reviews to start rolling in, and I am really excited to see how well this performs. Because if we can get 500Hz with good clarity, then that will be some of the smoothest motion you will ever see on a screen. Although, to be fair, there are people who can't even tell the difference once they go over 100Hz, so it does come down to the user as well. But while we're on this topic, there is another brand that I am really excited about, and that is NVIDIA. And they are, of course, the biggest manufacturer of GPUs, graphic cards, for the PC industry, for the gaming industry, and wow, they just came out with new graphics cards that will blow people away. But their competitor, AMD, is not getting left behind in any way. And while the split of the PC market might be 70-30, AMD, on the other hand, completely dominates the console market, delivering the GPUs for both Xbox and PlayStation. However, the reason I want to focus on NVIDIA is because they're doing some really clever work with AI, and they're using AI in very interesting ways. Like, for example, let's say you have a low frame rate. You're only able to render a game at 56 frames per second, but you want it to go higher because you want smoother motion. Well, one solution is to have the AI generate those additional frames. Another problem is that maybe in order to render those images at a high enough pace, you need to render them at a lower resolution. You're able to deliver 144 hertz, but at the same time, it's only being delivered at 1080p, and you want that full-blown 4K resolution. Well, then the AI can also assist you by upscaling those images. And from what I understand, this process is less resource consuming than it is to render at that speed with that resolution, which means the AI is supporting you, giving you a higher frame rate and a higher resolution with less resources used from the GPU. And now more than ever that people are becoming so energy conscious, this is a very important step to take, because another important thing that they've been talking about is reducing energy consumption in their graphics cards, especially for laptops, and that makes such a big change. Because if you are using less energy in the graphic card, you can invest less in cooling, you can invest less in the battery. Overall, you can bring down the total cost of gaming laptops by lowering the demands of that single component. But while new graphics cards and new monitors, new TVs are all very exciting, and I will get back to TVs, there is another area of CES that I love to cover. And that is everything that has to do with AR, VR, and the metaverse that both fascinates me and terrifies me at the same time. Because without a doubt, we are moving in that direction. Places are becoming virtual, spaces are becoming virtual. And the metaverse is all about that. the experience of being inside the digital, not just interacting with it on a screen. But it's also about making these virtual environments interact with each other. Because if you look at it today with online gaming and MMOs and all of that, you already have a lot of digital spaces that people practically live in for a pretty good portion of their lives sometimes. But you want to have this become a single online space, a single online existence where you kind of travel in and out of worlds, in and out of spaces. And one of these spaces might be very well gaming, but another space might be your home office. Rather than sitting at your desk at home and calling into a video conference, you'll be sitting in a three-dimensionally generated environment and you'll be looking around you, seeing an office with people walking around, and then you take off your VR headset and you're back at home. You're not going to commute in, you're just going to jack in. And even though that feels very sci-fi, it's already in the works, and you have major companies, and perhaps most notably former Facebook, now Meta, really leading the charge into this new existence. If you look at it, the newer generations are growing up with things like NFTs, with buying and selling digital assets rather than physical assets. And to them, it's going to be more and more natural. The rest of us who grew up with analog technology during our formative years, we're going to be the dinosaurs, and we're going to be looking at that the way that our parents looked at social media and online gaming and all of these things that emerged while we were growing up. But the people that are growing up now, and you know, they're in their adolescence at this time, by the time that they are in an office job, the idea of having a virtual office is going to be just as natural as having a physical one, perhaps even more natural. And they're going to look at us idiots sitting there in traffic, contaminating, pumping out toxic clouds of gas, just wondering what the, you know, what were we even up to? So I want to point out some of the interesting developments in relation to the metaverse. And one of them comes from Meta. And sure, 2022 hasn't really been the best year for Meta. They suffered a lot of bad stories about poor engagement and low user counts, but at the same time, they are still the ones leading the charge into creating one of these fully virtual environments that you can engage with and live in a sense, using VR technology. And one of the biggest problems in rendering your digital persona has been that it's kind of hard to calculate legs when all you have is a headset and two hand controllers. And this has been an aspect that breaks the immersion for a lot of users, making it really feel more like a game or a bit of a digital playground, not so much a real virtual environment. But now, using AI, Meta is actually adding legs to your avatar that will move and position themselves by studying your posture and using AI to calculate how they should be positioned. And this is going to make it all feel a bit more natural and a bit more realistic, and just chip away at that little threshold that is keeping us all from just diving into the Matrix. And if you want help to take that dive, the Meta Quest 3 is coming out as well. That is Meta's own VR headset and controller set, formerly known as the Oculus Quest line, now rebranded as Meta Quest. And Meta Quest 3 is going to be launched this year. But if you want to go a bit more hardcore into the metaverse, there are some companies offering really extravagant solutions. And one of the most entertaining things I've seen so far has been the Shiftall products. They have a suite of VR products, and they offered a VR headset solution, but they also offered body sensors and different feedback systems, obviously the controllers, and perhaps what was most eye-catching was a muzzle meant to contain your voice so that you could talk, scream, chat, sing, and everything would still be contained inside of your digital environment, so conversations could stay private. And if this is, for instance, an important meeting and maybe you are discussing matters that shouldn't really be for anybody's ears, that could also be a good asset if you're looking at a work environment in the metaverse. But perhaps more importantly, when you're fooling around online with your friends, nobody needs to hear you. And if that's not immersive enough for you, Paris-based Actronica actually showed off a vest called Skinetic, and it's a feedback vest for your VR experience, equipped with about 20 motors that produce different touch sensations. So what if you're not ready to leave the physical world quite yet and you need ways to get around? Well, one product that caught a lot of people's eyes this year was actually a pair of roller skates. And while electric roller skates with a battery pack that you fasten at your waist might not feel like the most revolutionary design, At the same time, it is something that we might very well be seeing on the market soon, and it could be one of those things just like hoverboards and electric bikes that just take off and become a new norm. And perhaps the reason that I've seen so many people get excited about these is because they are just slightly futuristic, but at the same time, they feel like something that you could go down and just pick up off the shelf any day now. And sometimes CES is also about that, about those gadgets that just aren't on the market quite yet, but could come any day, and you just want to be there and see them when they emerge. But if you want to get around and you want to do it with a bit more flair, then you should absolutely be looking at the big car manufacturers. And one that really caught my eye this year is BMW. They had a fantastic show of their new technology, and it really shows how much you can integrate some of the most advanced technology available into a car and make it both useful and beautiful. In their concept car iVision D, they showed off a lot of AR technology that can be integrated into the screens. So rather than having a dashboard with displays on it, they were showing information about your journey right on the windows. And obviously, this might be a bit distracting if you think about it as a car that you need to be driving, but this was, of course, a concept for a self-driving car. And obviously, that opens up for a lot of possibilities, because now the windows can be used as gigantic screens, and why would you have to have the window as a window? Or for that matter, why would it have to be a window into the world that you're actually driving in? You could drive through ancient Rome, or, I don't know, Atlantis, underwater. But something else that they showed actually for the second year in a row was their e-ink technology. And this uses a sort of display technology, electronic paper displays, that allow the actual car to change color. Now, in this model, they had it in sections of the coating, but in previous models, they've actually shown entire cars with this coating. Not one to be left behind, you had Volkswagen also showing off their ID.7. A pretty cool concept as well, where they integrated augmented reality, AR, into the windshield, but more focused on not your self-driving car, but you as a driver. And here you can see, for instance, that you had display technology in the windshield, like augmented reality, showing you the direction to go or different gauges or information that you might need as a driver to both have the information to get to where you're going, but also security information, you know, alerts, whatever you might want. And you might think that this feels a little less futuristic, and rightly so, because this car is actually planned to be released in 2024. So it's a lot closer to home. It's a lot closer to our current car industry. But if you thought this was going to be it, think again, because Volkswagen also presented this car painted with electroluminescent paint. 40 layers of paint containing phosphorus and then a top coating with color meant that the entire car could glow. And while it perhaps didn't change colors the way that the BMW did, what it did was light up. The entire car would light up in sections, and it really offered a bit of a light show. So if you think of that later on in future designs, how this can be applied later on, obviously in this case it's CES, it was meant to be a big eye catcher. But if you think about how that can be applied in the future, you might have lamps, lights, replaced by actually sections of the car's exterior paneling, or maybe you use it as a security feature. Make sure that if you're driving around in the dark, you have parts of the car lighting up, being even more visible than your traditional headlights and backlights. So in so many ways, this can be both practical and useful, but you know that, of course, another thing will just be to flash, literally flash. So you're going to have people driving around in their glowing, vibrantly colored cars and just showing off, because it's fun. Why not? But of course, when we're talking about the car industry and the future of the car industry, with all of this technology integrated into dashboards and into the actual windows, there are also two technologies that I kind of want to talk about from our backyard here at LG. LG is one of the biggest providers of technology for car manufacturers when it comes to especially luxury brands who want to go all out on tech. And one of the things that they've been doing is, of course, display technology for inside the car. But they also work a lot with cockpit computers and things like that. in past years, there's been a lot of focus on concept cars and things like, of course, the self-driving car of the future, where you can have an entire environment inside where it's a mobile office with your own little mini fridge, etc. But this year, actually, what LG themselves wanted to highlight the most was practical innovations. And this could be, for example, sensor and camera equipment inside of the car that studies where you're looking, what you're doing, how the driver is actually paying attention to different things in order to both service the driver better, but also keep track of the driver, make sure the driver is paying attention, and of course predict and understand the driver's behavior better to be the best possible digital complement to you as a driver. Meanwhile, another cool technology that was showcased at CES in the LG booth, not specifically in connection with cars though, but very relevant to the car industry, was transparent OLED. Now, this is obviously something that we might need in order to make the best possible window and windshield displays. And even though it was a TV on display, seeing that technology showcased like that kind of gives us an idea of what we're going to be able to do with car windows, dashboards, but also, if you think about it, augmented reality glasses, apartment windows, house windows, any transparent surface that you might once in a while want to have information on. Just think of wherever you have glass in your home, and now imagine that that could, whenever you need it to be, also be a display. It really is something that kind of feels like an indispensable part of any sci-fi scenario, except it's already here and it's already a reality, and that is pretty damn awesome. Finally, one of the biggest things when it comes to CES is, of course, also seeing all of the IoT solutions that keep popping up. And there isn't really just one item here that I want to pick out. Instead, I want to focus on just the interconnectivity of everything. Because one thing we've noticed over the years is that so many different manufacturers ended up creating their own sort of ecosystems, their own platforms, their own standards. And for a long time, building your smart home has been a matter of figuring out which device is going to work with which other. And this is where Matter comes in. Matter is an attempt at creating a unified standard for all IoT products and smart home products to use, by basically covering all the bases. It provides for Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, Ethernet, mobile connection to any sort of device and application, and it's basically just a standard platform on which to build whatever services or applications you need to make your smart home products and smart home features work. And this has been a really good year for Matter. At CES, a ton of different companies were talking about Matter compatibility, LG being one of them, but far from the only one. And that's what matters, because to make something like this work, you really need a lot of companies to jump on the same bandwagon and decide to work together. Because that level of collaboration is sort of how we get to that future envisioned where your smartwatch tells your alarm clock how your sleep was, and it will tell your coffee maker how strong you need your coffee to be in the moment that you wake up. And your TV becomes your information hub, and your speaker becomes a mouthpiece for the artificial intelligence that serves as your digital assistant. It really is a bit mind-blowing to think that we're already laying the groundwork for that sort of environment. And if you want to think about the final stepping stone into that futuristic worldview, well, there is something that we keep seeing over and over again in sci-fi movies. It's these massive screens all over the households of the future, and they're all wireless and nothing's connected to them, and all you see is whatever information needs to be displayed there. LG showed off the OLED M series, and while it also goes for the jumbo-sized TV screen sizes, the innovation here was really in the transmission technology, because the OLED M doesn't have any cables other than the power line flowing into the TV itself. Everything else goes into a connection box, the Zero Connect box, and it has a lossless 4K 120Hz video stream to the display. And it achieves this by having a transmission speed that is 3 times faster than Wi-Fi 6. So if you are a tech geek and early adopter, then here's maybe the type of future that CES 2023 paints for you. One day in the near future, you're going to wake up. Your smartwatch from the day before will have monitored your sleep activity and all of the activity you had during the previous day. It has already spoken to your alarm clock and your coffee machine, making sure that it wakes you up at the right time in your sleep cycle, and also to brew that coffee at the right strength to make sure you get to wake up with a bit of a kick. By now, it's also talked to all of your other devices. So as you walk into the living room with your cup of coffee, your TV is also giving you some information about the weather, the traffic, and all of the information you need. While you're standing there getting the latest updates, you see that there's a video call coming in. So rather than answering it on your phone, you decide to bring it up on your television where you have a better view. It's your sister calling in, and she wants to invite you over for a cup of coffee. You check the information on the display, and you notice there is a bit of traffic right now. Never mind, if you put on your electric roller skates, it won't be any effort getting over there through the park, and later on when coffee's over, you can get your electric vehicle, which is self-driving, to come pick you up. But then something happens. While you're there drinking coffee, having a nice time, you get a call from work, and it turns out they need you to do something right away. It's urgent, and they need you in person. So you go over to the sofa, put on your VR headset, and walk into your virtual office for a while, where all of your colleagues have all gathered, and there's a crisis meeting. No problem. You all attend, talk it through, there's a simple solution apparently, and you get it fixed in 10 minutes. After that, you thank everybody for joining and you take off your VR headset. You're back with your sister taking your coffee. But 30 minutes later, you've had your coffee and now you need to go downtown and do something. You're going to meet up with some friends or whatever. Doesn't matter, you get your self-driving car to pick you up and it's a 40-minute drive there. So in the meantime, you bring up a movie on the OLED display, which turns into a TV screen while you're sitting there. No matter, you don't have to pay attention to traffic, but if you do want to pay attention to traffic, that's okay. The entire screen just turns translucent, and you can look at what's going on outside. Not only look at it, but also as you drive past a famous monument, the AR technology in the onboard computer is going to give you information about what you're driving past. It's your regular route, so none of this is really new to you. Oh, but wait a minute, you do get an update that in the concert hall you just drove past, there's going to be a concert, because obviously, your car computer has talked to the rest of your devices and knows what kind of music you like. So there comes a recommendation for something you might want to do later in the week. But hold on, what's this? All of a sudden, disaster strikes. From the overhead bridge, something falls. And obviously, this is not something predictable, but your cockpit computer was able to react a lot faster than any human brain ever could have. So it is able to slow down just in time to make sure that the object that fell hits the front of the car, not the windshield. So you are safe. But unfortunately, this does mean the car needs to stop. Never mind though, because it already called for roadside assistance before you even knew anything was happening. And to minimize the impact on your personal life, of course, your car insurance has already made sure a self-driving taxi is already on its way the second the emergency call was made. And since you're on the side of the road, the car lights up bright red to make sure nobody else hits you when you step out of the vehicle, because of course there might be some people driving manually on the road, and human beings are a hazard. I mean, you should know, you were already listening to podcasts back in the day when driving your own vehicle was the norm. And as you get home in the evening and your self-driving car has already driven itself home from the repair shop, you think back to 2023 when you listened to a podcast episode about CES that predicted that all of this was going to happen, and that that was the moment that you decided you were going to check in every 2 weeks to listen to the next episode of Tech Talks by LG.